Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Talkville, folks, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast where every week we go back, we go way back. Tom and I watch these episodes, every one of them. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's my first time seeing these episodes. We watch them, we critique them, we review them, what have you. We have guests. We have some good guests coming up, by the way. And Ryan's here. He also helps us review these.
I'm also here.
And hopefully you chose your scene.
Look, I did this time because it was such a controversy last time.
It was a major controversy. Fans were not happy.
Were they? Or was it just you?
I wasn't happy either. I'll tell you that. We're excited. Look, if you didn't get a chance to leave in your questions for this episode, make sure you get in early for future episodes. The hotline, 213-538-2883. 213-538-2883.
Empire.
Today.
They a sponsor.
The socials are Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Talkville Pod on Twitter. It means the world to us. It helps us when you not only subscribe to the podcast or watch it on YouTube, but you leave reviews and you follow us on our handles to see what's going on. It's maybe some behind the scenes stuff. Maybe I'll take some pictures today. Who knows?
And it's fun.
You know, go to patreon.com/talkville if you want to support the podcast. We really need you. And we give shout outs to the top tiers every episode, Tom and I both. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good stuff coming. If you want to get some cool merch, talkvillepodcast.com. Stuff's been flying off the shelves, and we're going to sign a bunch of stuff, me and Tom, so you know it's from us. We're going to put some items up there.
I'm kind of tripping out on this. I have this Talkville mug that, like, it turns white when heat is applied.
Oh, really?
Did somebody make this for you?
Wow.
Yeah, did you know that?
That's amazing.
Because I thought it was just, like, dark, and I thought, oh, maybe the print maybe didn't that work, was but no.
Maybe it was Leanne.
When I added, when you add the coffee, like, the blackness goes away and it just becomes like there, and there are your faces, and there's the Talkville logo.
Little Lisa, who made that? Shit, why did I forget?
It's trippy and I'm just, great.
It's the first time I've seen that.
Without further ado, let's get into it. Season 2, Episode 2. This one's called Heat. It's for a reason. Boy, people probably watch this episode. They don't realize what everybody's sweating, or at least I feel like I was the only one sweating. Or did you notice other people sweating?
Oh, not only did I notice everyone sweating, I remember playing the heat. So what they don't do is they don't turn up the heat on set, even though we had trouble with climate most of the time. So what happens is right before they go, you know,
spray,
roll sound, and then people come in and go,
and they spray
it. They go action, and you have to focus. It's very distracting, but it looks great. Everybody looks great, sweaty, and it's just the right amount of sweat.
For the listening audience, he was doing little spray bottles. Those weren't little hi-hats he was playing. Yeah. It was little spray bottles.
Heat aired October 1st, 2002. Director, James Marshall. Writers, Mark Verheiden. Guest star, Krista Allen as Desiree Atkins. Synopsis, during a heat wave in Smallville, the hot new teacher uses kryptonite pheromones to convince Lex Luthor to get married, Jonathan Kent to turn murderous, and Clark Kent to develop powers. You don't want to try. I haven't talked to her in a long time. I'm going to see if I can get her on the phone.
Just take her.
Krista Allen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Let's see what she says. Let's see if she answers.
Please leave your message for Catherine.
It's not even her phone anymore. that was for Catherine. Hey. Well, that was worth it. Keep that in there, Jason. She changed her number. There you go. During a heat wave in Smallville, the hot new teacher uses kryptonite pheromones to convince Lex Luthor to get married, Jonathan Kent to turn murderous, and Clark Kent to develop new powers. We start this episode at the start of a new school year and during a massive heat wave as Lana is collecting video diaries from students at Smallville High for Whitney, who is overseas.
3.5 months later, which that's a nice big summer break. Chloe says it to Clark that she's been gone away. You know, mm-hmm. She found some guy in Metropolis to make her forget about Smallville for 3.5 months.
I don't remember getting off 3.5 months.
Nobody's thinking
for
about
school.
Twisters anymore.
I think
you did.
Did we get off for 3.5 months?
We had June to
I
September.
Think it was 2 months.
Well, like two.
June, July, and then middle of August we came back.
Oh, really?
In my school. Damn it.
I guess it was 2.5.
Damn.
But, you know, look, if Chloe and Clark are friends, if Clark can see Lana's house through his telescope, you'd think in 3.5 months they'd bump into each other, they'd hang out every once in a while. But no. How good of friends are they?
Like, Clark didn't go to the Talon once in 3 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm
what's
saying.
He been doing? Maybe he kept his distance because of the whole secret thing.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good.
Perhaps.
Good. Chloe catches up with Clark about how she returned from her summer internship in Metropolis, how her dad is giving LexCorp another shot, and how she flirted with other guys to get a rise out of Clark. That didn't work. The biology class has an attractive new teacher named Desiree Atkins, who's prepared to teach the students on anatomy and human development. As the sweat-drenched class watches animals hump in a sex ed film, Clark is caught checking out Desiree. This gets him all hot and bothered and causes him to shoot flames into the video projector screen. I guess this is your way of not to be pervy or sound a little risque or even inappropriate. But I guess that's sort of like, you know what it is, right?
They weren't subtle about it.
Okay, fine.
That's exactly what it was.
I mean, if you don't know what it is, that's okay.
They were showing sperm going into the egg on the projector screen while it happened.
I love how dad teaches him to control himself later. My dad never, look, here's what you want to do. You want to focus, think of a grandmother when you're doing this thing. Sorry.
Well, I also think that, like, let's not go through this too quick. I think this episode is very different than a lot of the other episodes we ever have. You have a character who comes in, meaning Desiree. I mean, not only has the class at Smallville never seen a woman like this in Smallville, but nobody has. And then we're going to find even more about her and the Lex thing. And, you know, one of the funny things for me was watching Chloe and Lana sitting in the classroom as Desiree enters and then just being like, oh, yeah. Really? Okay. This is what we're doing. This is what's happening. All right. You know.
The school evacuates, and Lex rushes into the parking lot to check on his lover. No, not Clark, but his new fiance, Desiree. It was a little shocking. It was a little wow. And he's getting married. Not only does Lex announce he's engaged, but he also extends an invitation to the wedding, which is at the same night, also asking Clark, the high school sophomore, to be his best man. They've had an eventful 8 months of knowing each other, so of course Clark agrees.
For some reason, I missed the whole best man part of it. I don't know why. I don't remember it, and maybe I was not paying attention. But as we go through this episode, can somebody answer me what Desiree's, like, really end goal was this whole time? Because you find out she's marrying Lex, you figure, oh, she's got it made. But she keeps messing with everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into that, because there's no reason for her to do anything other than to Lex.
Right. But she just can't. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get into that, because why did she come up? Maybe she wanted to destroy your friendship so you weren't. I don't. It doesn't make sense. I agree. To prevent Lex from being robbed blind, Lionel sends a prenup for Desiree to sign. She agrees in return for a kiss. As she goes in for it, we see pink pheromones transfer between the two. And after that, suddenly Lex is convinced the prenup is not needed. Back at the Kent farm, Clark talks with his parents about his hormone-triggered heat vision. I also like the little stuff that goes in the mouth, her little... That was kind of cool, but...
Like a little bit of essence.
Yeah, but I do have a major issue with this episode. We'll get into it. You know, it's just like, you go from such an amazing episode, and then you go... I mean, it wasn't that...
Look, the funny music.
It was sort of entertaining, but it was like, what are we watching here? We just watched a... hit show, and now we're watching a I don't want to piss people off, but I'm shitting on the show right now.
Was it a marketing thing? Because, like, hey, we're back and now we got to show all these commercials. How are we going to get people? Let's do one about a hot lady.
Of course, I'm sure it had something to do
here's
with that.
The second episode back. Here's how we're going to roll people in with these
we'll
commercials.
Get into this, because back at the Kent farm, Clark talks with his parents about his hormone triggered heat vision at the purple themed Luther wedding. Clark catches up with Chloe, who is still visibly distant. Chloe talks about the pheromones that the new Luthers must share and how some people have chemistry and others do not. Clark meets up with Lon at the Talon to do his video testimonial and shares that Whitney asked him to keep an eye on her. They then talk about the idea of acting on their passions, which gets Clark all hot and bothered and causes him to ignite the espresso machine and walls of the Talon.
Second curious fire that Clark has been around thus far.
Yeah, she really excited you. Because his powers seem to be out of control, Clark plays hooky from school. This prompts Jonathan to urge him to harness his powers as the two go out on the farm to practice on some scarecrows. Five scarecrows, two water barrels, and one mailbox later, Clark has mastered his horny vision. I'm wondering when they're breaking the episodes down for the season. They go from this giant, beautiful story, compelling character development, all these things, and then they just go into that.
They have everybody working on the big episode, and they're like, by the way, everybody who's writing the next three episodes, we're taking away $50,000 from your budget because we're using it, so go figure it out. Don't bother us.
But you know what? Like, they didn't need a budget to tell a compelling story with characters. They didn't need that. I just, if someone's listening and they didn't listen to the last episode, see how I praised it, because it was glorious. This one, not going to do it. Hot on the case, Chloe discovers that the new Mrs. Luther was using Desiree Atkins as an alias and was originally from Smallville. Clark then tells her that she tried coming on to him. Clark meets up later with Lex at the mansion, and Lex confronts him. Desiree told Lex that Clark was the one who came on to her. Clark tries to defend himself, but Lex isn't hearing it. You know, I had a situation many years ago, and one of my friends, his girlfriend, well, he went to the bathroom, was having people over. She said, come on, you know you want me. And I looked at her, I go, you're inappropriate. This is like one of my, what are you doing? And I was like, shit, man, should I tell him? No, that might make things weird. But what if she says something completely different? You just caught between a rock and a hard place. And then ended up working that out. Nobody ever said anything. But boy, she was a creep. I never liked that girl. You know who you are if you're listening to the Talkville Smallville Rewatch podcast. Later, Lex tries to question her about the alias, but she kisses him and makes him drop it. At Smallville High, Lon and Chloe are having another I don't want Clark to come between our friendship conversation as Chloe talks about how she felt burned by him. Lex interrupts her conversation to tell her he's decided to buy her out of her share of the Talon. Lon objects, but Lex pushes back, citing the recent fire damages that Clark caused. Yeah, nasty Lex. We see kind of like, what he could be. But he's obviously, he's got some.
That was just a curious coming together of like plot lines. I was like, what? Huh? Okay. All right.
Yeah, man.
I didn't get it.
I mean, look, Mark Verheiden's a great writer. James is a really good director. So guys, great job. But this is just how do the ad wizards come up with this one? It's just, the more I think about it, the more it enrages me. At the school the next day, Lana tells Clark the bad news. This prompts him to confront Desiree about it. She tells him to be careful because she can control the people in his life. Were you turned on by her? Be honest. Were you a little bit?
I mean, listen, extremely attractive woman and totally cool to work with. We had a great time. I very confident, you know, and that helped Clark a lot for sure, because Clark's never been around anybody like that.
Huh.
No, I thought she was great.
Clark comes clean about Desiree to his parents, and Martha goes full mom mode, threatening to go to the school board. Their convo gets interrupted as the sheriff knocks to notify them that Mrs. Luther claimed to see Clark setting her car on fire. Mrs. Luther?
Yeah, because they got married.
Oh, yeah. With this being three suspicious fires that Clark has been involved in, they take him in. Martha goes to the town to tell Lex, shame on you. Shame. Guilt trips him because she's always given Lex the benefit of the doubt, even when Jonathan doesn't. Great performance by Martha. I mean, it could have been, you know, it could have been just nothing. And she elevates it again.
Yeah.
While this is happening, Jonathan goes to the Luther Manor to confront Desiree. He finds her doing topless laps in the pool. Desiree tells Jonathan that Clark is a liar and then takes the opportunity to spread her pheromones to him with a kiss. I don't think she really kissed him, though. She just blew in his mouth. Chloe and Lana meet up with Clark in jail and share some dirt that they dug up on Desiree during the meteor shower in Smallville. Get this, guys. She was boinking her boyfriend. Days later, he ended up killing his family, and Desiree inherited everything. This becomes a pattern in her life. Chloe has a great line where she hints at their own drama by saying, lucky for us, Clark Kent seems to be immune to some members of the opposite sex.
I get it.
After they leave, Clark uses his heat vision to set an alarm on fire. They then let him out of his cell, and he uses super speed to commit a felony, breaking out of jail.
Now he uses super speed.
Yeah. At Luther Manor, Lex starts to learn about Desiree's plan to kill him for his inheritance when Jonathan Kent barges in, rifle in hand. As he takes his kill shot, Clark arrives on the scene, uses super speed to slow down time, and this time obliterates the bullet with his heat vision.
Did you see Jonathan's reaction? After he shoots, Clark does that. They go back to Jonathan, and John never opens his other eye. I don't know if you guys caught that. It's like the... obviously a choice. He didn't go, huh? He kept his eye closed because he was ready to shoot again. It was like really, I don't know, small thing, but I think.
Yeah, I kind of got that. Like he was just focused on that. Nothing else was distracting him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good call. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1. Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and... I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well, it really was. I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out, and the travel packs are worth it.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You know, it's funny. I don't remember much about this episode other than I had a sex scene with Krista and they cut it. I don't know what you guys know about preparing for a sex scene, but I started working out for 2 weeks as hard as I could. Everything in my body was sore, doing whatever I could to prepare for the scene that they cut from the show. Now, one time cutting it, I could understand. In fact, I remember saying, what do you need this for? We don't need to see this. But they said, we're going to shoot it. It was very hot and heavy, and I'm glad they didn't use it. But it was kind of like, I got a complex because I think they did 2 other sex scenes that were cut. One of them, I think, was with Kristen, and that was a real bummer.
Kristen. Crook.
Crook, yeah.
Maybe there was a request made.
Maybe there was. Clark stops Jonathan.
On the play.
Jonathan by knocking him out against Lex's fireplace, which is a common place to knock people out in this series. As this happens, Desiree breaks a bottle of alcohol against Lex's back and then lights him on fire. Clark drapes Lex in a curtain and then prevents Desiree from leaving by heating.
Wait, hold on.
This I got a question about this too. Go ahead.
Was that so? It kind of looks like you real quick with your back on fire, and then if you notice, it's Clark's wearing blue and it's a red tablecloth or whatever. It's like a Superman cape that covers Lex, but it looked like you for like the first shot or two. Did they put you on fire for a little bit?
No, they didn't put me on. Man, I don't remember it, but I think I would have. But what I do remember in the episode is Lex is burning to death and Clark goes to heat the handle of the door first. Did you notice that? Lex is burning to death.
It happens instantaneously. You know, to the average viewer, there's shots involved. But I think like when he shoots his stuff at the screen in school, I think it's an instant thing. I don't think it's a...
Right. It's not what the audience sees. It's what would have really happened. That makes a good point. Good news. Lex vouched for Clark with the police. They let him off with a warning. Lex meets up with Clark in his barn to apologize and let him know he filed an annulment. Lex tells him that he admires his patience with Lana despite his passion for her and then warns him to not wait too long. This episode ends with Lana finally doing her video testimonial for Whitney until she gets interrupted by Clark. She then tells Clark he's going to be honest with him about her true feelings.
For Whitney. I mean, I don't know. Hey, we got to see Clark got a new superpower, right? Is that the takeaway?
I guess so. Yeah. I think that's the one positive.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I mean,
he's got
I don't think Rosamund's going to be dropping three roses on this one, but
do you remember anything else about this episode? I don't remember much about this episode, maybe because it wasn't great.
I just remember it felt like a filler. It felt like we were just trying to get through it the best we could. You know, it ramping up, having been ramped up so much about the first episode of this season, and then sort of like, and having such a high energy to it all, physicality, and then this one just being like, oh, this is just a show about what's not being said the whole time. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, and it was completely implausible.
Well, also, I saw Clark being like, oh, you're getting married. Congratulations.
Well, how about this? How about this? They didn't. She doesn't die, so she's going to be able to use this power again on anybody. She goes to jail, she'll blow something in the dude's mouth, and the next thing you know, she's free. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Who's thought about this? And it sucks because Krista Allen was great.
Yeah.
She was great. She just really went for it. And it's a shame. Interesting things to note. Towards the end, Clark Kent is seen reading a book called Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury. The book talks about the firemen outlawing every house that contains books, seen as a reference to the fact that Clark learns his unique habit to ignite things. In a deleted scene, Lex and Desiree are seen having sex, we talked about. Originally in the pilot, Clark was supposed to have developed his heat vision in a sex ed class similar to the episode. It was dismissed for the time as the creative team thought it was too soon and wanted to develop better visuals for it. The episode takes place 3 months after the season opener, new school year. We talked about that. So why don't we do something special and go to the hotline? Let's do it.
Hey, guys, this is a tough one.
These are patron privileges. Yeah, it's a tough one to really.
Thank you.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. This is Tom T.
Hey, it's Tom from Niagara Falls, Canada, and I have a question about Season 2, Episode 2, Heat. Now, in this episode, there's a heat wave going on through town. Everyone's hot. You can see the sweat glistening on everybody. You can see the sweat on some people's clothes, some big sweat stains down Jonathan Kent's shirt in the kitchen. Now, I was just wondering, what was the behind the scenes of all the sweat going on? Were they coming out there and spraying everybody with spray bottles to keep the sweat glistening? Especially, I noticed Lex's head is extra shiny in this episode. So what was going on with all that sweat in that episode? How was it done? What was the practicality behind the sweat? Thanks.
Yeah, we talked about that. That was spray bottles. They just had tons of spray bottles and they'd spray the shit out of us.
A little bit of glycerin at times, a little to catch the droplets, but not, mostly just spritzers, small spritzers.
Big spritzers. Maybe there was some glycerin in some of it, so it stayed on. I think they put some glycerin like on my face. Seriously, almost like a Vaseline type thing. They lubed me up. Damn it. Oh, look at this. Michael P. Talkville shirt.
Hey guys, it's Michael Piccioni from Texas. I have a question for the episode Heat. There's a lot of parallels between this episode and the episode from season one, Hug. So I gotta know, it's a question for all of you, very thought-provoking, so I wanna hear it. What's more powerful, Bob Rickman's handshake or Desiree Atkins's kiss? Let's hear it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I would say the handshake. I feel like the handshake was able to coerce people to do things on their own outside of his presence. Where I felt like for her, it was always, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question, but I feel like she was able to control people in the moment, perhaps. I don't know.
Lex, I think was so sexy and beautiful that it was easier to manipulate men. And because, men, they think of sex a lot. And so if she got close to them, she could take advantage of them. So it was pretty powerful. A handshake, you're going, I'm not shaking this guy's hand. He probably wiped his ass.
Imagine if she had a handshake and he had the breath.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine having him to breathe on you in the episode? All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Joe from Pittsburgh. My question is for Tom about the episode Heat, but it applies to the whole series. Was there any subtle feeling or action you did consistently when filming your powers? For instance, did you actually flex your eye muscles for x-rays the way it's mentioned Clark does, or did you pretend your eyes feel hot for heat vision?
I think it's a good question. I think when you see Clark with Jonathan, when he says, Dad, I think it'd be better if I did this alone. I think you kind of see Clark trying to focus. And ultimately what they land on is that push in shot of Clark's face where it is focus. It's just still in focus. Maybe the head goes down a little bit. But an image or a thought, but it's probably not what's said in the thing. I think it's just more about, okay, this looks good for camera. I think same thing with x-ray vision, it really just became about like pretending, or quote unquote acting. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Did you get nervous, Tom, during like right before the scene or like the night before going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, or I don't know how I'm going to do this, or like these things that you don't know?
That was every scene. I never knew what I was going to do. Not that I had this whole like war chest of options. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Did you ever not read an episode and just walk through it?
I had to. I maybe didn't pay attention to every aspect. I think over the years I learned what to pay attention to because of how the show was filmed. In the last episode, the Nixon and Jonathan Kent stuff, it's not like I went over that with a fine tooth comb and figured out what their, deepest desires were and all that other stuff. But with the Clark stuff, I tried to, but Clark didn't know what he was doing.
This is Ed.
Hi, this is Ed calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Love the second season episode, Heat. Tom, you were so funny when you were awkwardly explaining to your parents what you were thinking about when the fire from your eyes hit the screen. Question for Michael real quickly. I wanted to know how they did the setting on fire scene when Desiree set you on fire and how much you were involved in that. Great scene. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. I don't really remember, but I think that, I was hit to the ground. And once I was on the ground, the other guy took that position and they put some anti-inflammatory sort of whatever they put on somebody.
Well, normally what they do is you're going to wear something that is like what race cars drivers would wear. In the old days, it used to be, Steve McQueen die of asbestos, but now it's not asbestos. It's something else, but it's flame retardant that they wear under the clothes and they put a little like it's almost like Vaseline, but it's like a grease that they put on the skin and there's a burn time that they know and they practice, whether it's 13 seconds or 40 seconds. And sometimes when you see somebody fully immersed, they're actually wearing a hood. You can't see it because the flames cover it. So there is a lot of that, even though, that's just normally how they do it.
Huh. All so right. That was interesting. I didn't know that. This is Eddie. Eddie. How are you, Eddie? Eddie? Eddie?
Hi, this is Eddie from Brooklyn, New York. And I have a question about the episode Heat. And my question is for Michael. There's on the Blu-rays, there's a deleted scene between Lex and Desiree, a love scene involving an ice cube. I'm just wondering if you remember filming that.
It's on there?
Uncomfortable to do? And do you think it was cut because it was too racy?
Hold on.
For I
got to
go
get my Blu-ray.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, my God, Eddie. I didn't know that existed.
Involving an ice cube?
I don't. Whoa. Even. I do. I remember being on the floor.
Patrons, tune in next week.
Oh my God. I remember being on the floor and they just covered us in sweat and we were rolling around and kissing. And I think there was, I remember I did put an ice cube on her, I believe. And I vaguely remember, but it was like, whoa. I remember the crew guys looking at me after going, whoa, dude, how about that? Without saying anything, just like, holy hell. But that's available.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I don't want to see it. So I know what you guys are freaking thinking out there. I'm going to post
it. I want to see you.
I don't want to see it. Do not post it.
If you become a patron, maybe we'll do a rewatch of it.
Yeah, but don't post that. God bless. Don't, you know.
Oh, somebody's going to post
that. No, they won't. They're
we'll just film our reactions. We'll
Jonas, moving on.
Hey, guys. This is Jonas out of Dallas, Texas. And this is about the second episode of season two, Heat. Michael, keep it real with your boy. How hard was it for you to keep it together working with Krista Allen? You had a chance to work with some hot, hot girls, and that being one of them. So get at me. Thanks.
I'll get at you, Jonas. Yeah. Get right at you. It didn't suck, Jonas. It, look, there's a professional aspect where it's like, you got to be professional, but inside you could be like, this doesn't suck. I get to kiss a beautiful woman. Or I get to, it makes the day, there's a flirty thing going on. There's always like a nice flirt.
In front of all these camera operators.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes if you're attracted to each other, there's this like, almost inadvertently, you're both kind of flirting and it makes the scene better, even if you don't mean it. Sometimes the connection's not there. Sometimes the chemistry's not there. But with Krista, it was there. Easily there. But you just have to, again, you have to be really professional and just do your job and try to enjoy your job because, again, it doesn't suck. Brandy from France. Tom, what sort of direction were you given for acting out the heat vision scenes? You kind of said that.
When it came to X-ray vision or all these other, like, no one really knew what it was supposed to be like. So I just remember trying a couple different things and then, like, you know, everybody kind of being like, that seems like it works, and then let's stick with that. But luckily, you know, not every episode revolved around all of it.
Did you never go back to like a Christopher Reeve movie and figure out what he was doing?
No, I think maybe when we got, I remember Glenn Winter laughing at me later on when we did Cold Breath or something on Smallville.
I was the first one. Like, it was my episode when you did the Cold Breath. I think.
And I just remember like trying it and then somebody laughing. Like one person just like, like, and I was like, wait, who the fuck's laughing? Like, you're not allowed to laugh. And it was like Glenn Winter. And he was like, I'm sorry. That just looks ridiculous. That's just so bad.
Oh my God.
We
got
to figure something else out. I remember that. And being like, okay.
That's amazing.
Laughing out loud.
Guys, this is the hardest part of the episode. This is the Rosenbaum ratings. If you've been watching, I don't have to explain what they are. You know, maybe Ryan and Tom will think, I don't know. Ryan,
no,
why don't you go first?
I think this is a one. It's worth watching, but not
Ryan.
I don't know. It's tough.
Just be honest.
Well, because we do get a new superpower in the canon. Did it have to be done in this with this euphemism? I don't know. I don't know.
I thought that was a unique attempt.
Yeah.
That they would try to do that.
Hey, don't try to sway his opinion. He's about to give it something.
Well, I was swaying. It's not. I don't know.
It's not a rose, is it?
It's not a heater. I'm gonna give it a negative one.
That would be a bomb.
One bomb.
Oh boy, if you're giving it. Oh boy, here we go.
I mean, it's definitely a bomb. The question is it more than a bomb?
Are you going to set it? This story was terrible.
The story was not good. I'm thinking of what was good. Krista was good. The actors were good. Okay, that's good. I mean, the director couldn't do anything. James couldn't do anything. This is the episode he was given. You know, you can't make a crappy script great, a great piece of work. You can't. The only thing you can do is make it a little better than crap. And
I think story, for sure. It just lacks story of any
significance. I'm going to give it, you know, I got to give this 1.5 bombs. 1.5 bombs for me. I think that's the lowest I've gone, I believe. 1.5 bombs.
I think so.
Tom, just go with your gut. Don't listen to us. Go with your gut.
Didn't I just say?
I think you gave it a 1. You gave it a rose.
Oh, yeah. You did give it a rose. Yeah. My bad. So 1, -1, 1.5, -.
Yeah.
Sorry, Al, if you're listening, but at least you didn't write it. Of course, it was story by you.
By the way,
so even the geniuses sometimes make a dud. 100, 200 something episodes. You weren't involved in towards the end, but look, their track record's pretty remarkable. They know how great they are, and they know this is probably a dud. It doesn't take a lot to notice that.
I think Krista's happy she didn't answer your call.
She did fine. She really did. You know,
she did.
She did great. What else did you want from her? She played the character.
Yeah.
She played the character great. She was convincing. She got everybody's attention. What was the whole, that was her whole agenda, was just, you know, I was expecting Lionel Luther to maybe like send a henchman to get rid of her or something, but, you know,
death and save count. How many people got saved and how many died? Zero okay. dead. One save. Clark saves Lex from Jonathan. Through two episodes in season 2, 1 dead, 4 saved. We are now on to Ryan's favorite scene. Ryan, do you have a scene?
Well, no. Lex got saved by Clark because he was on fire.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Bryce, put that in. What the hell? All right. Ryan's favorite scene. Do you have one picked out?
I do.
You do?
I do.
All right.
Then you're going to guess it.
We'll see.
Because that's how this little game works.
All right. Go ahead. What are the three choices?
All right. Well, yeah, this was a tough one to go through. All right. So here we go. Your three choices are Desiree's introduction into the class where Clark shoots fire at the projecting thing, whatever you call it. Number two, when... at the Talon, where Clark explodes the espresso machine. Number three, these are all heat vision related. And number three, where Clark saves Lex, where he shoots his heat at the bullet.
Oh,
these are tough.
It's the three scenes where you shoot your fire beams.
Oh,
so 1, classroom, 2, Talon, 3, Luther Manor, where you shoot the bullet.
Well, you have to go first, Michael, because I'm leading right now. So loser goes first.
You're leading in one episode, and there was definitely an asterisk behind that shit. I'm going to go with in the school, the heat vision in the school and the projector.
That's me too. Same.
No.
It was Lex on fire?
Yeah, it was the one where he saves it and he uses it where it's not like he's it's not like he's ejaculating.
Oh,
it's the only time where he's not... Oh,
so the one where Lex is on fire.
Yeah, where the one with Lex is on fire. That's the one.
Darn it. Both wrong.
Well,
both wrong.
My first instinct was the one in school because it's just so out of the ordinary and random. And I thought it was well executed.
They're literally playing Nelly's Hot in Here while it's happening. It's like, what the fuck, guys?
F bombs, please.
Sorry.
That's true.
I'm giving it one more shot with Krista. Krista!
What's up, baby?
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I know. I've heard you're fantastic. I miss your face. Listen, we're doing this Talkville podcast. It's a rewatch podcast. We're actually recording, but I will cut it. It's easy. It's not live. All we want to do is call you and ask about your experience in Smallville when you did that role as the teacher.
I was on a walk and I saw that you called, and then it was like a FaceTime video call, and I was like, oh, maybe that was like a butt dial or something. And then you called back again, and immediately I was like, who died? Somebody died.
Oh, what God. Happened?
Oh, how about my brain goes there?
Me
how
too. Well, because we're at the age where, you know, people do die.
my God, that is so depressing. Oh my God. I'm glad everybody's alive. I'm glad this is not, I was like, he's calling me twice in a row. Like what happened? Smallville was awesome. It was really fun. I had a great time. Desiree Atkins was my name.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a really good time. It was really fun. And yeah.
Do you remember like going into the classroom and you're supposed to be this hot, which you are, hot teacher, and you're playing it in front of all these students? Was it nerve-wracking? Because you look so confident that you just, it didn't faze you at all. Were there any nerves or anything?
Oh my God. I don't remember if there was nervousness necessarily. I mean, that's the part I was playing for such a long time. So I think it was just kind of a thing, right? That's kind of what I did. I was kind of manufactured for Hollywood at that time, right?
Right.
So doing all the covers of the magazines, and it was just a thing. But internally, I
saw, well, the confidence definitely came through.
So I was like, I don't know what they see, but apparently I am the hot teacher. But yeah.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is I was just talking to Tom and Ryan here, and I said, what you guys don't know is she's a comedian. She's hilarious. And they're like, what? I'm like, yes, watch her shit. I've seen her do stand-up. I've seen her do all these things. And I think when people probably saw you, they're like, oh, the hot girl, she's hot. But they don't realize how gifted you are.
Thank you. That's very sweet. But it's the unhealed trauma that makes me hilarious, you know? So, yeah. You know, time goes on, it just becomes funny. Or, you know, you become a serial killer, right?
You embrace it is what you're saying, right? You just embrace it.
You did stand-up. You were fucking great, too.
Well, thank you. Hey, do you remember the sex scene we did, but they cut it out?
Yes, but yes, I do. And they cut it out. Why'd they cut it out? It was too hot.
I was like, I got a complex because I was like, she was probably really hot. And then I was a bald, weird guy. And no one wanted to see me sexy.
We know it exists.
Tom said
Lexi was sexy. You know what I mean?
Lexi was sexy. Oh, I love it. Well, we all enjoyed working with you. Like we were just talking. Tom, can you hear? Can you hear Tom in the background? Tom, say something.
Hi, Krista. I don't know if you can hear me, but this is awesome.
No, I do hear you. Hey. Yeah, that was hi. Such fun.
I'm sorry for Michael calling you like this.
Huh?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
What? The sex scene?
No, that never sounded like a good idea.
Well, you owned it, though.
I remember we were like, we nailed that. We thought we did such a good job. We were like, that's going to be so hot. It's going to be great. And then they're like, yeah, we're not using it. We're like, wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, but what you don't know, Krista, is I had another sex scene later on in the series, and that got cut. I got a complex here.
Oh, then it's definitely you.
Yeah, that's that's what I was thinking.
No.
Oh, man.
No, it's that you're so hot that the CW is like weak, that like the standards and practices are going to come after us.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's too hot.
I think the sex scene was probably too hot. I remember the crew guys. That's what I do remember, is them looking at me like, whoa, buddy, you are luck with a capital E. Luck E. Get it? Yeah. I'm an idiot. Well, I love you. I'm glad you picked up, and it's just fun to hear your voice. And I think the audience will just love that we just randomly impromptu talk.
Yeah. Like I don't really remember. I came to Vancouver, but I had just finished something else. And I feel like I was just wanting to get home because I had a little boy, you know, like at the time Jake was little, you know what I mean? And I think I was doing like a round of different things or whatever it was. And I think I was just wanting to get home, you know, I
can't remember. Yeah. How old's Jake now? How old's Jake? Let me guess. 20.
Up.
24.
Keep going.
23?
He's almost 26.
Oh my God, Jake.
He's doing so good though. Like
I love it.
He's doing so good.
Love that.
I'm just favorite human on the entire planet.
Yeah, you love that kid.
The top 10, but you know, Jake number one.
Well, can we hang out soon? Now that we reconnected, can we at least do something?
Yes, of course, of course.
I would love that. And let me ask you the stupidest question ever. If George Clooney is a 10 in kissing, what would I be? Be honest. 6?
Oh, God. That's just such a, like, okay, we'll go. that's like just not fair to George. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be embarrassing for George.
Really?
You know, because you, yeah, because you just exceed. You can't put you on a scale.
I don't believe anything you're saying, Krista. Nothing.
Neither do I. Neither do I. Ryan?
I love you. You are the best. And I'm going to text you after this and we're going to hang out.
Okay, sounds good. Love you. Happy holidays. And bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, Krista.
Bye. Wow, what a trooper.
Yeah.
What a trooper.
What a trooper. I'm telling you, you could say anything. She's just totally cool and fun. And she's really funny. How about that, guys? That was kind of fun. All right, guys. Any final thoughts on this episode? Should we just forget it?
I mean, she's a delight. Like, if
yeah, she's
clear,
awesome.
Like, Krista is an absolute delight. The episode was rough. I feel like they were just trying to hook people in, say, hey, guys, there's a new season back. Don't forget.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I just...
By the way, I mean, I was missing Where's Blind Lionel? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
how do you go after that and not have Blind Lionel and all the things that happened? You should have just like went right into that with... Started out with, you know... John Blind and Lex and the conversations and Clark, just you could have gone right into and kept that storyline going.
Maybe it got bumped up from like mid-season. They just decided to bump it up. Maybe that's what happened.
Doubt it. Any final thoughts? All right, so look, guys, thank you for sticking with us. Look, every once in a while, you know, we're going to not like something. And that shows our honesty. We're not just like, this was great. Stick around next week as we talk about Duplicity, episode 3 of season 2. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or at Talkville Pod. And if you want to know, let us know your thoughts on other episodes, leave a message for season 2 at 213-538-2883. We love our patrons. Join us, support us, patreon.com/Talkville. TalkvillePodcast.com. Get awesome merch. There's more merch coming up. And thank you, Ryan.
Thank you,
Thomas,
for having me.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Michael.
Always
you
a joy.
Thank you, Krista. Thank you. If you ever, I hope, hopefully she never has to listen to this, but if you do, thank you for being a sport.
Why don't you say the end line, Tom?
Always hold on to Smallville. Or is it Talkville? I forget.
Smallville. We'll see you guys next week. And how can we forget our wonderful patrons who make this show possible? We talk about it all the time. If you want to join Patreon, go to patreon.com/Talkville. Help the podcast out. Why don't we read the top tier podcast patrons? And also, Bryce, there's some cool stuff. If you go to patreon.com/Talkville, you'll see the cool perks that you get. And most importantly, help the show out. And you guys made this possible. I think a lot of people wanted us to do this. We're in season 2 now. All right, here we go. Top tiers. Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, we couldn't do this without Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, and Tom T.
Oh, yeah, Sophie M, Betsy D. Hope you're feeling better, Betsy. We're supposed to do a Zoom, and you flaked, but you're sick. Liliana A, Abby P, Kimberly E, Michael H, Ray Harada, Fatima T, RCM.
Danielle B, 99 more. Liliani.
Lalani. You never said it right yet. Lalani, damn it.
Catherine P, Brett G, always hold on to Smallville, Esteban G, DJ Kento T, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Justin S, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, and Lana W.
Nancy D, she'll be at the con that we're going at this weekend. Brian G, Sarah W, Artoon K, Justin T, and Lucy O, Jeremy G, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, Grumpyitis.
Jordan M, Hillary B, Craig G, Christy R, Pollyanna, Karen P, Derek G, Jor L, and Richard S.
Heather and Greg, Nico P, I Made Smallville Say Butts, Brian H, Georgina B, Eric K, Kristen B, Takashi M, Kevin E, Nanine W, Stephanie K.
Darth Achilles, Finky, Kenny S, Tito G, Remix, Stephen F, damn, who's that? Jeanette E, David, General Zod, Amara, and Eve.
Ev.
And
there's no Eve there. Amara and Ev.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll just correct you. I like correcting you. It's Kitty. Krauk, which is Clark spelled backwards, I believe. Drew M, Big D, John Glover's Luscious Mane, Doug R, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Isabel.
Sager S, Corey L, Ivy and Sam, Brittany W, Mr. Home Arcade, Cal Torino, that's a cool one, Amanda K, Jesse C, Jason L, and Claire M.
fourth favorite character underscore Zoe. Hi, Zoe. Scott S. D. Brown, Joshua W., Green Alice, Ira M., Eldon Supremo, Dan, the big lawyer in England, Sarah Q2, Leslie V., Gary H., Tatiana S., and Robert G. You guys freaking rule. I love saying your names. It's the least we could do for you helping us out. Spread the word. And thanks for supporting us. We love you. And Tom?
Always hold on to Smallville. Jack Nicholson.
Always hold on to Smallville.